Today I pray that you'll make us like the prophet of old who saw you high and lifted up in the temple and uttered, "Woe is me." And then he said, "Lord, send me and I will go." May that be the heart and the testimony and the desire of every one of us in this room. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah. You're grateful for this worship team today? The old preacher said you all could get a bus and hit the road. You're that good, but you can't because we need you here. Take your Bibles and find the book of Colossians. And folks, I'm honored to stand in this sacred place as one of your elders and pastors. And I pray that God will honor our time together. As I mentioned in our announcements, I've provided for you a handout. And here's what I would encourage you to do. Use this as a supplement. But bring this book with you. You're welcome to fill it out and use it as a guide. But there's nothing like the feel. There's nothing like the reading of this book. The Bible tells us, "Blessed is he that reads it." So I hope you'll come prepared each Sunday. And I know some of you have it on your digital devices, and I understand that, but don't rely on a handout. Rely on the Word of God. The old preacher said one time, he said, there's many people who can preach the gospel better than I can. But there's nobody with a better gospel to preach than I have. And you won't have a hard time finding a preacher better than me. But you won't find a better gospel than what we have in this book and that we are anchored to and that we've been anchored to for the decades of this ministry. So when we talk about transition, we talk about things that are changing. This never does. And every time we come into this place, we're going to study this book and we're going to preach this gospel. And we're going to proclaim this Lord. And we're going to build His church. And you go, "Well, I don't like change." That's all right. Not much has changed, all right? I'm just a little bit more overweight and less hair than Sam. So we'll leave it at that. Next week, we're going to start into a series on the book of Colossians. And I recognize I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But I want us to go to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 27, 28, 29 this morning. Then next week, we'll go back and we'll start as we move through the text. But I wanted to anchor us today on what is our theme for both life and mission, individually and as a church. I've been thinking about this day and this message for many weeks. And I can show you in my notes where I had selected a passage of Scripture to open us up with. And then sitting back there last week, you'll recall Pastor Sam took us to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. And that was the exact passage that I had written down to lead us into Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. And I thought, how sweet of the Lord to anchor us to where we were last week and to take us to where we begin today. So in review, Hebrews 13 says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, we equip you with everything good to do His will." Underline that. Pay attention to that. "Equip you with everything good to do His will, working in us what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ." Circle or pay attention to that. Through Jesus Christ. For what purpose? So that He gets the glory. And then where our text takes us today, and we jump into the middle of the passage, I want you to pick it up in verse 27. It says that God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Again, underline or highlight that. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we proclaim Him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And I labor for this, striving with His strength that works powerfully in me. Father, may you be honored at the reading of your word today and the proclamation of your truth. Holy Spirit, would you be our teacher and our guide? In Jesus' name, amen. I love the way the Hebrews 13 passage connects us to the Colossians 1 passage. Because Hebrews 13 tells us that it is God who is at work through the person and work, the completed work of Jesus Christ, to equip you and I, to enable you and I, to give us the giftedness to serve. And it says that we do this through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I remind the Lord often I'm only a C student. I don't have all of that. A man walked into my office a number of years ago and saw the books that line my office. He stood there for a minute and he paused and he looked at my books and he looked back at me and he went, "Huh, I figured you'd be smarter than you are." To which I replied, "Me too. Me too. I can't do this on my own." And quite frankly, I'd be afraid to try it. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I don't work in a power and strength of my own. He has equipped me through Christ, who powerfully works in us. Did you catch that? Christ who works in us and through us. And I hope we can unpack some of these truths today. Because as you study this little book of Colossians, you'll find that everything that motivates the heart and the mind of the Apostle Paul is what needs to motivate you and I as believers. It's what is the mission of us as individuals and the mission of Fellowship Bible Church. And it's simply this, that we would present everyone mature in Christ. That's your mission. That you would present everyone mature in Christ. Husbands, that you would be able to present your wives mature in Christ. Moms and dads, that you present your children mature in Christ. Co-workers and neighbors, that you present the people around you mature in Christ. Church members, that we wouldn't just attend and shake hands and be glad to see each other, but that we would be intentional to be iron upon iron and helping each of us to become stronger and more like Christ. To be what Romans 8:29 says, that we'd be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's our goal and that's our passion. I was reading through the foundation's document of Fellowship Bible Church. And it says the goals of FBC can be summarized in two objectives, and I quote, to cultivate environments that promote Christian maturity and to establish environments that promote a mature church. So to cultivate environments for Christian maturity, that you and I would go on to look more like Christ, that you and I would mature and grow in our walk and in our faith, and that we would have an environment where our church as a whole is growing and maturing. Where our testimony, not of FBC, is increasing, but the testimony of Christ at work within us is growing. We're still new to Bridgeport, but I believe this, in a town of roughly 10,000 people, I believe there's at least 1,000 people that don't go to church anywhere in this community. Anybody? How many of you think there's 1,000 people in our town that don't go to church? Well, they might as well come here. That means you all have to scoot over, okay? We're going to have to make some room. But here's our challenge. Contentedness stifles. We're content with our level of maturity in Christ. We're content with the status of our church. We're content with what we do, the way we serve, what we give, how we pray, how we read. We're content. And there's nothing Satan would want more than you and I to be at ease in Zion, as Scripture would say. But when you and I settle in and become content, we stop pressing towards the mission of presenting everyone mature. My son called me, I guess it was yesterday. I talk to my kids every single day, and what a blessing that is. But Nathan called me the other day, and he said, "So, are you ready for Sunday?" And I went, "Yes, sir." You know, roles have changed, right? I went, "Yes, sir." He said, "What's your outline?" I said, "Okay." And I gave it to him, and I said, "Hey, it's an alliterated outline." He said, "Well, you are a seminary student, aren't you?" And I do. I want to give you a couple of hooks that will help you organize and remember the passage. But I want to give us some points of application. So if you will, just walk along this with me. First, if you're filling in your handout or you're taking notes, I just want you to write down that there's a proclamation in this text. There's a proclamation. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. First part of verse 28, we proclaim Him. Say that with me. We proclaim Him. Say it again like you mean it. We proclaim Him. That is the proclamation. But if you notice back in the first part of that verse and even the last part of verse 26, it talks about this mystery. What is this mystery that is within us? What is it that seems to be veiled or hidden? And at the time, we would understand Paul is writing to this first century church who has just experienced the life and the ministry of Christ on earth. Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. The one who had been prophesied for centuries to come. The one who God had told to His people Israel, "I will send to you a deliverer. I will send to you Emmanuel, God with us, who will tabernacle with you." Well, this mystery as to who is this Messiah was finally revealed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's part of the mystery. But the other part of the mystery is that the person and the work of Jesus Christ wasn't just revealed in His humanity, but now He has taken up His power, has taken up residence within us. We are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ in us. Do you understand this today? That if you and I name the name of Christ, if we are followers of Christ, that we have Christ in us. When I come to realize that, I ask myself, why do I often live so defeated and so discouraged? Why am I often disobedient when resurrection power has taken up residence in His own? Let me ask you today, how many of you know Him as your Savior? Anybody in the room, you know Him as your Savior? Then I want the peace of God just to settle on you for a moment that Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, what has He called you to do that you can't accomplish? Where has He called you to be faithful that you can't follow through? The other part of this mystery is that God has included Gentiles, this is you and I, in the redemptive plan. That it wasn't just for the people of Israel, but that He said, whosoever will may come. That's you and I. Which means that we proclaim Christ. We proclaim Christ. And the text will go on to tell us, as we'll look in a moment, to everyone, Jew and Gentile, like us and not like us, those that we like and those that we don't like. But we possess this mystery of Christ. And then did you catch the phrase in verse 28? Who is the hope of glory. You all will meet, some of you have met him already, you will meet my dad in days to come. I call him the quotable Cliff Hartley. He has tattooed his preaching and teaching all over me. But I've heard Dad say many times, I don't want to hope so, Faith. I want to know so. Do you know him? Do you have a confidence that Christ is at work in you, who is your hope of glory or your inheritance of days to come? And here's what's beautiful about this. When he is our hope of glory, when he is our foundation, when he is at work within us, guess what's going to happen? The truth of the gospel message will bubble up out of you, and you will proclaim him. There's a reason for the context. This mystery of Christ, who is at work within us, the hope of our glory, the promise of our inheritance. And when I recognize that he has saved me, that he has redeemed me, that he has called me his own, that he has spoken my name to the Father already today, that he has purposed me and commissioned me, and that he has done that for every one of us in this room, then how in the world will we ever sit quiet and be content for people to never know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I grew up in Sunday school. Anybody remember Sunday school? Back in our day, they took, you got stars on your attendance sheet. If you memorized your Bible verse, anybody got that? If you did your sword drill and brought your Bible with you? If you had prayed that week, and I remember this one very clearly at Thomas Road Baptist Church, it was if you had shared the gospel with anybody. I'll never forget this, as clear as I am looking at you today. I was in the first grade, and there was the Metcalf, Eric Metcalf, lived behind our house down over the hill. Well, I hadn't shared the gospel with anybody that week, so I grabbed my brother Brett, and he and I took off down over the hill. We trapped Eric on top of the doghouse. Brett and I tag-teamed this guy. We weren't letting him off the doghouse until he accepted Jesus. I remember walking up the hill feeling quite accomplished, actually. Got to Sunday school that week, and the teacher asked, has anyone shared the gospel with anybody? And I raised my hand quite proudly. And I said, yes, I did. She said, did anybody get saved this week? And I said, yes, they did. A half. Half. I was not letting Brett get credit for all of it. I was like the gunslinger, a notch on my gun belt as to the number of people that I was leading to the Lord. Where am I going with all this? Folks, I think Satan has lulled us to sleep. And I think Satan has made us content with our own personal salvation and our own personal hope of glory and inheritance. And we're not looking around to see who is far from him. I experienced the T&L restaurant this week. God love the T&L restaurant. I was in there twice this week. Don't judge. Do not judge me. Last Sunday, I was in there and met a man named Alex. He had the same affection for T&L hot dogs that I had. I said, Alex, where do you go to church? He said, I don't. Found out that he's born and raised in this area. He knew where this church was. I said, will you come be my guest one day? And he has promised me he will. So now I'm obligated to go back to T&L on a regular basis in hopes I will meet Alex again. All I'm encouraging you to do is look for the opportunities, the divine appointments that God will give you to share the gospel with somebody and invite them into the glorious hope that you have and proclaim him. Does that make sense? Well, let's talk about a second point. There's a process to this. There's a process. When you look at the text, it says, we proclaim Him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Stop there and circle warning and teaching. Warning and teaching. And these are two very distinct words. I find it interesting when I study the Apostle Paul that Paul never differentiates a difference between evangelism and discipleship. Now, interesting in our American churches today, these are two big rocks that we tend to anchor ourselves to. And some will go, well, you know, I'm better at evangelism. And some go, I'm not real good at sharing my faith, but I love discipleship. But here's the truth of it. According to the Word of God, you don't decide between evangelism and discipleship. They are the same. Go to the Great Commission. What are we supposed to do at the Great Commission? We are supposed to teach everyone. Warn and teach everyone. Now, here's the truth about this. Some will go, well, the warning in verse 28 of Colossians 1, the warning could be that evangelism. That could be that cautioning or counseling. That could be that encouraging them to accept Christ as their Savior. Where teaching may be more of a discipleship process. But I'll tell you this, you can't teach someone to be more like Christ if they've not met Christ. And if all you've done is help them meet Christ, but not grow in Christ, you've been disobedient to the commands of the book. I pray that Fellowship Bible Church will continue to be the place where we proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that everyone has the chance of accepting God's free gift of salvation. And then we help them go on to maturity that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now I will say this, according to Scripture, it says we should warn and we should teach, but we should do it with all wisdom. With all wisdom. Circle that. Folks, did you know there's a right way and a wrong way to approach people with the gospel? You know, a turn or burn message just doesn't really work all that well with some people. Right? I love the opportunities to build relationship, to come along beside the lost. Last year or so, I was in Danville, Virginia, out in the backside of the county, working with a particular man's property. His name was Daryl. Daryl was 89 years old. And you know, I got to understand about Danville, Virginia. Danville, the city of Danville, has 400 churches in it. We're known as the city of churches. Okay? So I'm sitting on a tree stump in the backyard of Daryl's house in Dry Fork, just outside of Danville. I said, Daryl, where do you go to church? And he went, never been to church. I mean, what do you mean? He said, I've never been in a church building. Well, now he had my attention. I said, do you own a Bible? He said, I've never had a Bible in my life. I've heard about it, but I've never had it. Never have owned one. My third question, how old are you? 89 years old. I said, you mean to tell me in 89 years you lived in the same town all your life and you have never gone to a church and you have never owned a Bible? He said, that's the truth. I said, if you died today, where would you go? And he went, don't have any idea. I said, can I introduce you to Jesus? And on that day, an 89-year-old man sat on a tree stump with tears flowing down his face, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. You know what he needed? He needed someone to sit on a tree stump with him for a minute. Folks, pull up a chair. Have a conversation. Find someone to engage the gospel with. I ask you again, how many of you know Christ as your Savior today? Talk to me. That means Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to proclaim Him. And how are you going to proclaim Him? You're going to do it with all wisdom and gently come along beside the people who are far from Christ and introduce them to the one who loves them most and loves them best. Now, why do we do all of this? Because the text goes on to say that there's not only a proclamation, there's a process, but there's a purpose that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Circle a couple words in this verse for me. Circle the word we. That's not the preacher. That's not the hired staff. That's not the elders. That's we. That's the collective body of Christ, that we may present. The word present, circle that word. Present simply means that we may help people be prepared. Do you realize that one day every single one of us will stand before God Almighty? Every single one of us will one day give an account before the only one that matters. And it is my hope and desire that you and I will work together, present everybody in the body mature in Christ. But circle the word everyone. Everyone. You know what everyone means, don't you? Everyone. I mean, I think we all get that. Not just those that look like you or dress like you or act like you or have the same economic position of you, but it says of everyone. God is not prejudiced, and neither should you and I be. God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we. But He says we want to present everyone, everyone that walks through these doors and down these streets and in our neighborhoods and through our households. How do we want to present them? Mature in Christ. Anybody got it all figured out? We're in good company, right? I've been walking this road for many, many years and still shocked at how easily I stumble and how easily I fail. But one day, I'll be like Him, holy and righteous, perfect and complete. But until then, Christ works in me. The power of Christ works in me to make me more like Him. Lastly, there's a power. It simply says, Paul goes, I labor, I strive with His strength. Underline that, His strength that works powerfully in me. Folks, by God's grace, we're empowered to persevere, to present everybody mature, to stay on mission. What's that going to look like here? I think it's going to look like a couple things. Stay faithful. Can I? We use at our home an umbrella of grace. Can I ask for an umbrella of grace this morning? Don't decide yet. Well, there's been a transition, and I may not stay. You stay till God calls you somewhere differently, and if He calls you somewhere differently, He'll know where He's taking you. But otherwise, put your hands to this plow and stick with it. And stay right here as this body. And we work together to reach this city and to build up this church. Does that make sense? The other thing I would encourage you to do is to join a Connect group. Those are going to start back up in September. And some of you are going, I just kind of like the large gathering. Folks, if we're ever going to look like Christ, we're going to have to get larger and smaller at the exact same time. And if you really want to see spiritual formation take off in your life, connect with other believers who will come along beside you and pray for you. And when crisis hits your life, you know that you have brothers and sisters who are upholding you and praying for you. You need the body in your life. And then stay faithful to proclaiming Him. So here's what I give you. Here's how you apply the text today. Three thoughts. I never did ask the elders what time I'm supposed to be done. Either that was brilliant on my part or negligent. I'm not sure. But here you go. Remember this. Our limitations, our personal limitations, will always be overwhelmed by God's competence. You ever feel like you can't? You ever feel like you've tried too many times? 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. You feel like the struggle is so real some days? Can I just remind you that we serve a sufficient God who's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread, who upholds us in his mighty righteous right hand? C.H. Spurgeon said one time that Satan tells me I'm unworthy, but I've always been unworthy. And God still loved me. Whatever is your incompetency that you seem to identify and that Satan reminds you of, Christ is greater. I give you this, Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is that a good passage of Scripture? Try this one on. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and will keep you strong. Wherever you feel incompetent, God is more competent. 2 Corinthians says it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." And it is He who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. Can I share this with you? God has never been interested in using your strengths. He wants to use your weaknesses because that's where He shows up. I'll give you a second point of application today. Pursue spiritual formation today, now. Don't think in the years to come, maybe I'll look more like Him. Don't think I'll focus on that on another day. But determine today, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day I will rejoice and be glad. This is the day I will surrender all of my heart and soul and mind and strength to Him. So yes, attend your church faithfully and participate in your Connect group and find a place of service in the church and read your Bible every day and pray faithfully to Him and learn how to fast and learn how to give. And while all of these things are important, somewhere you must be convinced and convicted. You do this to pursue Christ. Christ in me. And Peter would say, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, because to Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Hebrews says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Can I beg you and I today, this is the day everything changes. This is the day we drive down the spiritual marker and go, I choose Christ and I will have surrendered to Him. And number 3, intentionally, purposefully share Christ every day. I don't mean to speak of my dad so much, but I've seen him at night. When you live in the little town of Millersburg, Ohio, if you want to meet anybody, if you want to say hi to anybody, you go to Walmart. It's like Mecca. I mean, it's where you go. My dad, if you ever get to know him, in years past, he didn't go to Walmart. He didn't shop. He didn't cook. He didn't do anything. I remember sitting in the house about 8 o'clock at night. Dad gets up and puts his shoes on. I said, Dad, where are you going? said, I'm going to Walmart. Why are you going to Walmart at 8 o'clock at night? Mike, you can attest to this. My dad says, because I've not shared Jesus with anybody today. And off he goes to Walmart. I'm sure someone in the bread aisle got accosted that night with Scripture. But Dad wasn't going to pillow his head until he had shared the truth of the gospel with somebody. Oh, to God, that we would be so driven to proclaim Him. To never be content with pillowing our head at night with friends and family and neighbors and co-workers, not knowing Christ. Peter says, but in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior would be ashamed of their slander. I love what the psalmist wrote. Sing to the Lord and praise His name. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations and tell everyone about the amazing things that He does. Great is the Lord, and He is most worthy of praise, and He is to be feared above all gods. And Paul writes in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is in the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. I ask you on this last point to intentionally share Christ with everyone. I don't know you. I'm struggling to learn your names. But as long as God gives me breath and the opportunity to preach His Word, I want to give everyone the opportunity to know Him as Lord and Savior. And I know not where your life has taken you. I don't know what brought you into this place today. But I know this. Jesus is present. His free offer of salvation is available. And the Holy Spirit is saying, come. And if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, would you do it today? Right where you sit. Would you just simply pray to Him? And this has to be your prayer, not mine. But a simple prayer that says, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And I know there's nothing good within me to save myself. I'm fully dependent on the work of Christ on the cross. Would you just ask Him today, Lord, would you forgive me and save me? And my Bible and your Bible promises that when you call upon the name of the Lord like that, you will be saved. Him we proclaim. Him we proclaim. That we may present everyone mature because of the power of God that works within us, who is Christ Jesus. If you've accepted Christ today, I hope you'll come and tell me about it. Talk to one of our elders. But let me extend this just a little bit further. I wonder who in the room today will go, you know what? I got to stand up. I got to put my hands to the plow and I got to go to work. And I'm not going to be content with just being a consumer. But I'm going to be a participant in the mission of proclaiming Christ to everyone. So that everyone one day will stand mature before Him. If you would love to renew that commitment today, I'm going to open up this altar. You come and pray. You come and kneel. You want to pray together about salvation today, you come and do that today. But can we just linger here for a few moments? I don't know what time it is. Just linger. And let's ask and invite the Spirit of God to do His divine work. You come as God would have you. Father in heaven, would you be pleased today? May your name be honored, high and lifted up. May we be people of worship and people of praise and people of surrender. May we be a church that's fully devoted, passionately following you. We ask these things for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name.